eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life.
Singing.
Singing liberation praise. Singing liberation praise. For we are captives freed by grace. This is liberation praise. The only one who satisfies, only one who makes my life make sense.
But we're going to start with basics, because here's the thing. The command, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, is one of the most numerous commands in the Bible. You know, it's about 250 times it actually exhorts or tells or instructs you and me to praise God. And it starts right at the very beginning, because one of the prophets gives this picture of the morning stars singing together when God created the world. And right at the very end, there's this huge praise service in heaven. And we know the words of it, because we sang them earlier on. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. And so praise is really very important. But when someone says, yeah, I want you to talk on praise, and you sort of think, I wonder what that actually does mean. I mean, the Bible actually says strange things. First of all, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, that's easy enough. But that means every animal, bird, insect, fish, because they sort of breathe through the water, same oxygen, you know. But it also says that if we don't praise, the very stones will praise. And it says, the trees of the field clap their hands. And it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So in actual fact, all the inanimate objects as well, all the stuff that's on this earth is being instructed to praise the Lord. So this has got to be important. We often combine it with praise and worship, right? This is where it gets a bit odd, you see, and he'll fix it. We do combine it with praise and worship. But actually, it's not the same thing, right? In my opinion, they're linked, but they're not the same thing. Praise is something totally different from worship. Now, I'll tell you a story which is in my favorite book on worship, which some of you will know, and you're thinking, oh no, he's going to talk about A.P. Gibbs again. And I am, because A.P. Gibbs was a Brethren theologian who didn't have musical instruments in his church. He wrote this away in the 1940s, and he wrote a book on worship. And he called it Worship, the Christian's Highest Occupation. And it's a great book, if a little bit dated, but it's fantastic, full of truth. But he tells a story that you're outside and you're walking along the bank of a river, you see, and you slip and fall into the water and you can't swim. So you're drowning and you start shouting, help. And there's a guy on the other side of the river. He's walking along the other side and he's coming from work and he's got a business suit on and a briefcase. And without any regard for himself, he takes off the suit, throws a briefcase aside, dives into the water, and takes you out, saves you, rescues you. And on the side of the river, you're saying to him, thank you very, very much. Thank you for what you've done for me. That's just unbelievable. And A.P. Gibbs says, that's what praise is. Praise is that acknowledgement of something that has been done for us, all right? Or an acknowledgement of somebody's character or person. That's what praise is. But he goes on to say, the guy says, no, you're welcome. Look, tell you what, I'm having a party at my mansion on Friday night, and I'd like you to come. Seeing we've got to know each other in a strange way. And you turn up at the mansion, and the butler opens the door, and he says, oh, you're the guest of honor, and brings you in. And there's a huge dining table set with lots of guests, very important people, people that are a lot more important than you and me. But at the head of the table is a special seat, and it's for you. And he tells you to come up and sit there. And you spend the whole evening in great conversation. If the conversation moves away from something you don't know or understand, he keeps bringing it back. And the more you're in his company, the more you go, oh, really? This is just the bestest person in the world. I absolutely love this guy. This is just... And you begin to like them and love them and worship them just for who they are. not just for what they've done. All right? And that's the difference between praise and worship. Okay? So worship is actually, it's a complete attitude of heart. But what God says as well is, look, I want you to praise. What the Bible tells us to do is to praise. So it doesn't diminish worship being that sort of intensity, that relationship you have with Christ, you know, doesn't diminish the praise that God has asked us to give. Otherwise, he wouldn't keep saying it over and over again. And, you know, praise has gone through a lot of phases. And Andy will remember this, I'm sure. And I remember it. And we all have different perspectives on it. And, you know, for a lot of us, we're still with one particular perspective or another. But about 20 years ago, really, I had to actually count it because I thought it was only last week. It was about 20 years ago, there started to be lots of books come out about the power of praise and praise works and praise him every day. And it was to encourage us to spend our entire lives praising God. It's a good thing. It really is a good thing. And the idea was, the trouble is with a lot of these trends, then it gets to be a bit of a mantra. And so we started to get to the stage where you sort of just did praise stuff because apparently it would fix things for you. You know, you were getting more into, you know, let's praise. And there were problems as well. I remember some of the problems because there was the one that if you were really sick or there's something awful happening in your life and you're thinking, I can't really praise God for that, you know. At least some people could, but a lot of people couldn't. And so we came up with ideas. And I don't know if you like this one or you don't like this one. There's one where if you're unwell, you praise God for your healing. Even though you don't see it now, you'll see it later on. And lots of people got that and got into the good of it, but other people couldn't take it, you know, and sort of thought, I don't really quite understand that, you know. And some people, you know, the real strong ones, they just say, I don't care what situation I'm in, I'm going to praise him anyway. And that's more of the sense of what praise should be. But it's still a very important thing. And I think, and I'm probably only talking about myself, but because we don't know and understand too much about it, it's maybe worth just having a look at exactly what it means and what the difference of living a life of praise can do for us and for the people around us. So that sort of sounds exciting, and it might not be. So here's hoping. So what is praise and why is it so important? Well, actually, we know that it's an action thing. It is an active thing because the Bible gives us a whole lot of definitions of how you do it, right? And we use these a lot. So I'm going to, these are the Hebrew words for praise. And there's seven of them. And you might know one of them. I only knew one of them. But yada, these are all in Hebrew. So that's why they're funny words. In Genesis 29, and that means to hold out the hands. That's an act of praise. See, it's in there. And todah is an extension of the hand, i.e. sort of this, right? So there's two of those. One is hold out your hands out when we do that. And there's another one, you see people raise their hands. Well, these are biblical ways of praising. And in the temple in the Old Testament, that's what the people used to do. They would have done these things. The first one, yada, actually, some people think that it actually means clap your hands. And it might. Three, zamar. This is my favorite because it says here to touch the strings of a musical instrument, which is what I try to do with varying levels of success, you know. But musical instruments are actually, were part of that. So zamar. So that, it's sort of, you know, you wonder why sometimes within the church and in church history, you know, we stopped playing musical instruments because we thought they were of the devil. When here's God saying, no, you got to praise me on the harp, any instrument, on a cymbal even. Crash a symbol, you know. And then there's tefillah, which is another Hebrew word. And this just means to sing. So singing is part of praise. I'll go through the last two. This one I quite like is shabach, which means to shout. And so some people shout out a sound of praise. And halal is another one. Now, halal means, if you go right down to the root of the word, and it's odd. And for quiet people like me, slightly embarrassing, because it says, be clamorously foolish, you know. Go mental is what it actually means. Now, I don't know if you watched the boxing match last night, if you stayed up late. I mean, I love boxing. I went to see Carl Frampton at the Titanic Quarter. It was four seats from the front because somebody gifted me a brilliant ticket. And it was great. And last night, just when he sort of hit those two right-handers just at the end before the referee stepped in, you know, the place was going mental. So it was actually halaling, or hallelujah is the word that comes from it. So when you hear that word hallelujah, you think that basically means go mental for God. And so it's interesting. Not sure how much we get on that. And then there's this strange one, which I'll just sort of mention. It's the one that you might have heard of, which is Tehillah, which means the high praises, right? The high praises of God. And what they think that means is where you move from thanking God for what he's done to who he is. That when you start talking about his character and the things that he is, you know, he's love, he's grace, he's mercy, all those things, he's mighty. That's called the higher praise. Now, I think that's a good explanation because there are some weird things when you look them up that people ascribe to higher praise. You know, they sort of talk about if you can get to the place of higher praise, this will happen. But not really. You just got to think on God and think of who he is. So let's see now, where am I? So there are all these things, but here's Robin's explanation of it. First thing of praise is generally always a response to the actions of another. That's the reality of it. It's always that response. It's that it actually is born out of thanksgiving. And if you're thinking, well, give us an example. Listen, it's the same as a child doing well. You know, if a child does well in school and comes back and say, hey, look what I got, a gold star. Do they still do gold stars? You know, they did with my children. One of them never got any, actually, but I'll not tell you which one that was. But even then, when he brought his stuff back, we went, that's fantastic. That is just brilliant. Somebody paints a picture, and you're in a store, and you look at this painting on a wall, and you think, that's just wonderful. Whoever did that is absolutely amazing. That's the nicest picture. That type of thing, that's what praise actually is. And so, I wrote down here, somebody makes a great meal. You say, hey, love, that was a brilliant meal. Loved it. I say that a lot. I do. It means I keep getting more, you know what I'm saying? Or what about Rooney scoring a goal, you know? That's a good thing. Or somebody just putting that ball over the line this afternoon. You know, when that happens, and it's Ireland, you know, people go mad. And God is praised for his works in the Bible, you know? Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the works of your hands, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, you know, then I start to praise you, God. That's he gets praised for his creation. I like the one in Psalm 139, and the psalmist says, I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I think that's good, because I get a sense that he's sitting somewhere, you know, and then he sort of looks at his fingers and he thinks, these are pretty good, you know. God, you made that. That's the type of thing. A sense of wonder enhances our praise. And we actually have to get a sense of how our lives are part of God's work, you know, and how what's happening and where we're going and the path that we're on. We've got to get a sense that, you know, we're saved, as we've been told, using, you know, the vernacular of Belfast. We're saved, but we've brought into fellowship with Christ and we're on a journey. And the things that he's doing on us and with us and through us are praiseworthy, even though you might not think they are. So even getting to a sense, do you know what I mean, that you sort of look at your hands and say, that's amazing. I had a little bump in my car, in my big Land Rover. And if anybody's related to the lady's car that I hit, she wasn't in it. It was parked. How bad is that? I had to turn it to avoid hitting a guy that came out of a side street. And it was a little Ford Ka of 12 years old. And by the end of the bump, my car's plastic bumper had shattered and the wheel arch had shattered. And her car was just a big pile of plastic. It was incredible, you know. So it made me think, I'm glad I'm in my car. But I hurt my finger, my little finger, the pinky. I mean, would you believe that? My wife said, don't you be telling people your finger's sore. Like, you know, people get in accidents and are in hospital for 8 years, you know, and stuff like that there, and says, and you're going, hurt my finger, you know. But so it messed it up. Look, see. There's a visual aid. See, it won't go straight anymore, right? But you have no idea how cack-handed. Cack is an old word for left, actually. That's, you know, an old English word for left. So just in case you think I'm saying something rude. How cack-handed you become. I mean, I dropped plates, cups, spoons, went to grab things and couldn't hold because the wee finger wasn't working. And you sort of, thanks for that. but that's it, you know. That's how amazing we are, that the tiniest little part of our hands is so important, and God made that. I'm able to do that. One very important thing, of course, is that your perspective on praise is shaped by what you're like, really. Do you know what I mean? If you're walking with God in communion with Him and on the path and aware that He's with you, watching over you, and the mystery of that all the time, always, every single moment, He's thinking, you're following my purpose. I want you to follow my purpose. I think that basically gets you going for a start, makes you say thank you. But you've got to have that perspective. If you're sort of a bit naturally grumpy, you know, and like Nicky is, but you know, we're praying for him. But anyway, but if you're a bit naturally grumpy, I think you find praise very hard. And so I think you've got to work at it, if that's your dispensation. But I think that's very important. Like, who do you think is responsible? If I said, you know, who do you think is responsible for where you are now and your life? You should immediately say, no, Christ is responsible for that. You know, if you thought, oh, the taxi driver is because he brought me here this morning. You know, that's not what this is about. You see, that God is in and through every part of your being. In every part of your life. I do a lot of playing. So I'm not sort of setting myself up as a fine example, but I do a lot of flying. And on one particular occasion there, which my wife's not here, so I can tell you, because she says, stop going on about that. I discovered that I'd flown transatlantically once every 2 weeks for 5 years. Right? That's a lot of flying. Do you know something? Every time, naturally, when I land on a plane, I say thanks. I say, thanks, Lord, for getting me down. You know, it's great. I'm not particularly frightened of flying. I wouldn't need to be at that intensity, but it's just that sense, thanks. Thanks for getting me down again. You know, thank you for doing that. even waking up in the morning, start there. I actually do say, thanks, Lord. Just want to wake up in the morning. Another day. I don't know if you've watched a program called Music of the South or Song of the South. It's a guy that's doing it on BBC Two. It was on last night, and I was just caught a bit because I like music. And he went to a primitive Baptist church in the South, and they sang a song, the words of which were, praise you, God, for another day, because I ain't dead. Honestly. And they just, and that's what they sang. Said, praise you, Lord, for another day, because I ain't dead. Praise you, Lord. And this whole little congregation is singing. I'm thinking, there's a good start. You know, it's a good way to praise. Thanks, God, for waking me up this morning. And thank you for doing it. And look, if you're thinking, I find that hard to do, Robin. I find that hard to do. You know what you want to do, actually? Start looking at your communion with God and start looking at the Bible and the things that people praise God for in the Bible. Have a look at the Psalms. I think you'll be amazed. Anytime you do anything in terms of trying to get a sense of what God's doing in your life, I think God always rewards it. When I was looking at this, I did start to punch through some of the Psalms. You know, the vast majority of the Psalms are Psalms of praise, but there's other ones as well. And one of those Psalms is Psalm 73. This is just a little thought, you see, which I thought and think is really nice. But you may not agree, but it's okay. And Psalm 73 was written by a man called Asaph, who began life as a cymbal player in the temple. Honestly, that's what he did. Christ. And he learned his craft, and he became a great hymn writer. And Psalm 73, if you don't know it, is the one where Asaph says, why do the wicked always prosper? And they never have any worry. They're always rich. And they've got lots of money, and they take advantage of everybody. And I'm like, devastated. I'm trying to follow your commands and your, you know, that sort of thing, just like you and me. And then what he says is, If I'd thought like this and said this, which he did, he says, I would have been like a brute beast to you, God. That's the words that he uses. He says, then I went into the temple of the Lord and I understood, which was a sense of him, like us, being a bit fed up and thinking, this isn't fair. You know, I'm working hard and these guys are going to sack me. This isn't fair. I mean, she's ill. She's very sick. She didn't deserve to be that sick. All those things which are part of life. But Asaph goes into the sanctuary and he starts to remember what God has done and the things that God has done. And one of the things he says is, you hold me by my right hand, right? Now, I've read that a million times, because, you know, God always talks about at my right hand, this, and it just flew past it. But in actual fact, when I read it just the other night, you hold me by my right hand, I thought, what is that? Do you know what that is? You know the last person I held by their right hand? It's not like holding hands. It doesn't say that. That sort of sense. The last person that I held by their right hand was my children, taking them to school. Because I think that's the picture that Asaph's saying. He says, you know what God's like? It's like you're holding his hand there. He's higher and greater than you, and he's walking you through life. And you know that there's nothing better if you're a little one than having your mother, father, granny, granddad, whoever's looking after you, hold your hand when you're out in dangerous waters, right? Walking down a street, crossing a road. And I think that's amazing. That's what Asaph is saying. That's why it's worth praising God, because he's like our earthly fathers, mothers, whatever, holding our hand when we're in difficult places. And that is the type of thing. You know, if you just take time, have a look, and get a sense of what God does for you. My wife and I were in Claridge's in London. Would you believe that? It was my birthday. And she went to town and we got to go to London. And she got me a meal in, what do you call the chef that swears all the time? Gordon Ramsay, in his restaurant in Claridge's Hotel. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Claridge's Hotel. I never had. Claridge's is one of those, ooh, hotels, right? Fantastic. And so we went in. I'm walking through the door, and I'm thinking, I don't really belong here. You know, you sort of feel that you shouldn't be there, that the people that walk through Claridge's door are a lot more special. But we walked through anyway, and slightly nervous, and went to the girl at the desk, said, we're here for lunch, the cheap lunch, which is what it was, you know. That's what it was. So we didn't say that, but said, we're here for lunch. He said, oh, just over there, the maitre d', we'll talk to you. And we went over, and there was a guy at a lectern like this, and he said, hello. And I said, yes, we're here for the lunch. It's Mr. and Mrs. Mark. And this guy went, Mr. and Mrs. Mark. It is a pleasure and a delight to see you. Thank you for coming. Come on, I'll take you to your seat. And at that point, I thought, I've arrived. I am a Claridge's person. I mean, we had the most fantastic time. There was just that sense that someone appreciated me being there. Now, I mentioned that, and you've got to remember that, because there's a little point I want to make as we move on. But when we sat down at our table, there was a card on the table, and I've seen them in some of the restaurants here, but the text on the card was written by Stephen Fry, who is an atheist, and he's the guy that does QI and all that, and he's very funny most of the time, but sometimes not. But Stephen Fry had written on this little card, you know, while you're eating your meal today, we used to thank God, he wrote this, for our food. He says, now we don't do that because most of us don't have an understanding of God or who he is, and we don't really know who to thank. And then went on to say that Claridge's will give put a pound on your bill to give to the homeless people that live outside in the street, in and around where that beautiful hotel is. And I thought that was it was a lovely touch. It was sad in a way, because he was acknowledging that it's good to give thanks. And giving thanks is part of praise. And yet he was also acknowledging that we've pretty well lost that sense. The world has lost that sense of praising God and thanking God for what they've got. And so it sort of drove me to sort of think, you know what? I really should thank him a lot more. And out of that thanks comes our praise. Anyway, So if we get the sense of what praise is, hopefully all those wee ideas will give you an idea. It's basically something that flows out of thanksgiving, or something that's part and parcel of when you realize something that God is, when you realize how merciful he is or how gracious he is, or even that little thing where he says, you know, I'm going to hold you by your right hand. See, that's what Asaph said. I'm going back there. It wasn't God's right hand. That's what the Bible normally says. It was your right hand. It was right. Give me your hand, son. We're going for this. So here's the thing. What does praise do when it's real? Wonder is that. I just said to Vernon, it works. We're on the right one. Well, you know what? Praise blesses the one being praised, right? It lifts them up. And this is a weird thing, isn't it? If someone praises you, you feel good. Someone tells you you did something really well, you always feel good. It's just naturally. And so God says, I want you to praise me. And in the Bible, they use that phrase, God's lifted up. And I thought to myself, is it possible that when we praise God, God feels good about our praise? And I think it is, actually. I think that's what it's saying. And you might say, well, no, surely God's self-sufficient. But we get to bless him. It says in the Bible, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Well, that's a bit of praise. And so God gets blessed, right, when we sing his praises. Now, that's sort of weird, but I think it's important. I'm not sure what the dynamics are after that. Andrew will explain all those later on in this series, but I'm not sure what it is. But there's a sense that when we join together, when we lift our hands, even the least of that what we do, God gets blessed by it. And it's true. I was just thinking that because it's sort of reciprocal, right? It's two-way. That's why it's not quite the same as worship as well, because worship is generally a one-way thing. But praise is two-way. I actually think that when we praise God, that he acknowledges that praise, and he praises us sometimes. Now, if you're thinking, oh, he's gone all heretical here, I'm talking about the sort of thing when he said, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with him. Right? Okay, well, you say, well, that was Jesus, Robin, that's all right. But what about James, or John? We think it was John who used to write, when he was writing the book of John, then the disciple whom Jesus loved. And most people think that it was him, that he was saying, Jesus loves me best of all. And God didn't take that out of the Bible. There was a sense of God loving him. What about Job? You know, when there's a story in the Old Testament of Job, and it starts off by Satan talking to God. And, you know, he's saying that nobody, you know, sort of basically deriding the creation and the world, etc. And God said, but what about my servant Job? He's a good guy. And I have a sense that, you know, if God says that in places and calls David, you know, his beloved and a man after his own heart, it's incredible. These are things that the Bible's telling us. And it's a sense of what God actually does. It's a bit dangerous, actually. But I think there's an element of this was if we praise God, that God actually is proud of us, is blessed by us, and blesses us in return. What do you think? You know, I just think that is the case. Because, you know, God is gracious. Every, you know, as Matt Redman said, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Praise does ultimately change things, as well as the one that's praising. So that was where we were, I think, 20 years ago. But praise does actually change things. Now, I think what you've got to do is not think about that. But you've got to realize it somewhere in the back of your mind. I think when we start to think about that, then we start making up little mantras, you know, of what we should say and what we shouldn't say and how we should be. And, you know, say this word. Or every time you finish a sentence, say praise God. You know, that's not really what we're at. Not unless that praise comes out of a thankful heart and means something. And you get a sense of whatever. I just thought of something there, and actually, it's this is the way I preach, which is terrible because because I like the boxing. One of the people that follows me on Twitter is a girl called, I forgot her name, because that's part of a problem, actually. It's, hold on, I better look this up, actually. Katie Phillips, who lives in Dublin, and who is the gold medal winner at the Olympics in boxing, in ladies' boxing. She's the wee girl. She's a Christian girl, and she follows me. And because there's a bit of boxing tweets here, there, and everywhere, she'll send tweets to me about that. And so she tweeted about Carl Frampton last night, and I sort of tweeted and said something nice about her. And she wrote back, she tweeted back to me this morning and says, "Oh, Robin," says, "it's so nice to get a little word of praise from a real hero." Exactly. So, I mean, that I thought, I'm a real hero, you know. I've no idea why, but just that sense, and that's the sort of thing. Now, even you were touched by that, and you didn't get it. You know, it was me, and you sort of thinking, if that's the way we are, and God made us in His image, then when we praise God, you think sometimes He just goes, "Great, that lifts me up." It's a weird thing. You'll have to fix this because it just sounds. Too exciting for words. You sort of think, I better praise. It also makes you think, I better not just say things and not really mean it, you know? And that's why. Anyway, that's sort of it, really. But I sort of said, well, I better finish up with something. So one more slide, I think. There. So I think it's what you got to do. You got to remember what this praise word can do and what this act of praise. You got to say, well, it's 250 times in the Bible. The servants of God and God Himself saying, praise. Come on, get together, praise. Lift me up. Thank me for the things I've done. Do all that sort of stuff. And so you've got to reflect. I think you've got to think. You've got to walk the way. You've got to start to think. See when I bumped the car, right? when I knocked the car, I thought, oh, for goodness sake. I felt so bad about myself. And a little word popped into my head. Now, I don't know whether it's nonsense or me. And this just phrased up top of my head and said, never again, don't worry. You know, now, I don't know what that means, but I was a bit annoyed with myself. My wife, she suggested that I shouldn't have went out of the way. I should just hit the guy that was coming at me, because then it would have been his fault. You see, he went shooting past like a rocket. But never again. There was just a little sense in the middle of that God spoke. And I think that's what reality is. That's what happens. You just got to listen out for that voice of God. So reflect. And if you think, that never happens to me, Robin, never happens. You know, if I've had a pizza, that's when I think God's speaking to me during the night in a dream, but otherwise not. Well, then pick up the Psalms and read it. Go to Psalm 73 and find a man like ourselves who was just totally ticked off with everything and then went to see God and understood that God's holding him by his right hand. So reflect. Remember the things He's done. There's a psalm in the Bible that says, if the Lord had not been on our side, would we still be here? And the very fact that we're sitting here is because God is good to us. And, you know, so even that sense, go for that. And rejoice. Right? Because that's what praise is. We're thanking God for all He's done, for who He is, for what He's done, for the circumstances, for the things that He plans to do. And we rejoice in that. And I just put it at the end and be thankful. Because I think if wouldn't it be terrible if you got to heaven and you said, you know what, you know, I went to exchange church, Lord, but I never put my hands up because I couldn't be bothered with that sort of thing, you know. And I never really sang very loud or said, you know, anything like some of the songs, you know, I didn't really like them, you know. So you'd feel pretty bad because what that shows is a lack of thankfulness, actually, if these two are linked. If praise comes out of thankfulness, then sort of going, I can't be bothered with this, is basically saying, yeah, you know, that's all right, God. You know, you're sort of sovereign over everything, so I don't really need to thank you because, you know, whatever it is. It's a wrong attitude. So it's all keen to be thankful. Hope that makes sense. End of sermon. This is where you say amen, isn't that right? All right.